Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
We are 730 days away from the Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. Welcome to a pop-up episode of Quest for Gold. Yes, we're 2 years out, but my next star colleague, Andrew Martin, had a chance to sit down with Janet Evans, LA 2028 Chief Athlete Officer.
Let's get the bio correct, right?
Okay.
Before we get to really the meat of what we want to talk about. So, International Swimming Hall of Fame, U.S. Olympic Hall of Fame, three-time Olympian, 5 Olympic medals, 4 gold, 1 silver. At one point in your career, you had 45 national titles and 7 world records.
Yes.
Did I leave anything out?
I think that sounds pretty good.
That's good.
We can stop there. Let's talk about LA 28.
Well, LA 28, and I do want to talk about your history.
Yes,
but
of course.
LA 28, you were the chief athlete officer, which sounds really cool, and I'm sure it looks great on business cards.
Yeah.
You're responsible for the athlete experience.
Yes.
What does that mean?
So my role as chief athlete officer means that when an athlete touches down at our games and finally leaves our games, what is their day-to-day looking like? And we have a lot of teams that work on that. You know, we have a village team. We have a transportation team. We have a food and beverage team, right? But my role is to work with those teams to ensure that the decisions they are making are good decisions for the athletes. Because sometimes, when you're not an Olympian or Paralympian, you haven't lived in an Olympic village, or you haven't gotten on a bus out of the village to a venue on the biggest day of your athletic career, you might not know exactly what that feels like. So my team is really the team in our organization that kind of peeks in every once in a while and sees what everyone's doing and ensures that when we put our athlete hat on and we think about, okay, I'm getting in the swimming pool for the 400 meter freestyle on July 27th, this is what my day needs to look like, we think about that for them. And so when our athletes do make it here to Los Angeles, our teams will have put together an incredible, you know, conglomeration of all the things that they need to have run well for them, but it'll have a nice little touch on it that I feel will ensure that the athletes of the world have everything that they could need.
Well, it sounds like a mouthful.
Yes.
And it obviously is a lot that goes into it. I mean, we are 2 years out from the Olympics, but really the planning started years and years before.
Yes.
2015, Janet, when you were named Vice Chair and Director of Athlete Relations for LA 24.
Yes.
The 2024 games were awarded in 2017, and I'm sure you were disappointed in that result, but the same day is when LA 28 was awarded, right? So can you kind of take us through how you first got involved with this entire experience, I guess, more than a decade ago?
Yeah, sure. So I had the opportunity to help the Atlanta Organizing Committee in 1989 when they were bidding for the 96 games. I also worked with the New York Bid Committee in 2005 when they were bidding for the 2012 games that also went to London. And so when Los Angeles was in the running to be the bid for the 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games, Casey Wasserman gave me a call and said, I need an athlete to show me their vision, to show me what it would look like for the day of an athlete if we are awarded the games. So we started the bidding process with then Mayor Eric Garcetti. It came down to us in Paris as the two remaining cities for 24. It became very obvious that Paris was an incredible place to host a games, right? And, you know, it's Paris. And so, and it was the 100th anniversary of their first Olympic Games, which was in 1924. And so we negotiated. The mayor and Casey negotiated so we could take 28 at the same time Paris took 24. So we were not disappointed. We were actually very excited about the opportunity to be able to host the games. We had a very long runway. Paris went off to work, and then we started going off to work too, and we became an organizing committee. And that's when things shifted to LA 28, and it's really hard to imagine that it's only 2 years away because we have been doing this for quite some time.
Well, and you, I don't want to date you by any
means. No, it's fair.
In 1984, the last time the Olympics were in LA, you went to those Olympics, and I think that was your first Olympic experience, but you weren't an Olympian
yet. Well, yes, and it was my first Olympic experience because you think about the games before that. 1980, we boycotted. 1976, I was very, very young. And so for me, 84 was my first real understanding and experience of what the Olympic Games meant, and to go to the Coliseum. I drove by it this morning, and every time I drive by it, it's just so meaningful and moving to me every single time. And so I got to sit in that Coliseum. I got to watch the athletes of the world. And it really called me and inspired me. And when you really look at it, though, I think what the Olympic and Paralympic Games do is, yes, they inspire athletes. Yes, they inspired me to go swim 12 miles a day and become an Olympian. but it inspires people in different ways. You don't have to be a great athlete because you love the Olympics or the Paralympics. I think the Olympics inspire people to be their best, to go try something that seems hard, right? To keep fighting and keep trying for things because that's what athletes do. And so I think that's the magic of the Olympic and Paralympic movement. We're not all going to be great athletes, but we're going to find that inspiration in it. And I think that's what we're going to do in 2028 and why it's such an honor to help bring the games home.
And it's your hometown. So it's more special for you to be a part of this, knowing that you live here, you're from here, but it's also first time in the U.S. since 1996. Seems like a dumb question, but how big of a deal is it? We just saw the success of the World Cup in North America to have the Olympics
here. It's a really big deal to have the Olympics back, the Summer Games. And so, A, it's for the athletes, for the Team USA athletes to compete on home soil, but also because Los Angeles loves the Olympics. We, you know, look at Olympic Boulevard, right, which used to be 10th Street, which named after the games of the 10th Olympiad in 1932. And so we love the Olympic Games here in Los Angeles, and it is meaningful to have the games back, and it's meaningful to have the games here in Los Angeles. And we're also hosting the Paralympics for the first time. So hosting the Paralympics is very important to us as well. And I think our city will fall in love with the Paralympics as well.
So let's talk about your experience, because a lot of people out there know how great Katie Ledecky is in the pool. And I know that you two are friends.
Yes.
You were Katie Ledecky before Katie Ledecky, and I know you're okay with her dominance, right?
Yes,
the records that you had that she broke, you're okay with that?
She's amazing. Katie's a very good friend, and she's an incredible athlete. I can't wait to watch her swim in 28.
What if the 1500 was around, though, when you were competing? How many more medals would you have?
Well, it's hard to say if I would have won, but they just introduced the 1500 meter for women in Tokyo. 2021. And so for me, it was always my dream to swim the 1500 meter. It was my greatest event. It was my best event. It's the event I held the world record in the longest. So I've never predicted this. No one's ever asked me, but based on my 800 from the Seoul Games, which I won, I probably could have done well in the 1500 in Seoul and maybe even in Barcelona, even though I was old in Barcelona at 20. Atlanta was a different story. I didn't swim that great. But here's the thing. It is what it is. And for me, being able to watch Katie swim the 1500 in Tokyo, to watch her dominate the 1500, my favorite event, my best event, you know, I cried. It was amazing to watch her. And I was just so happy that she was given that opportunity and that the future, you know, 1500 meter swimmers have the opportunity as well.
So let's brag on you for a little bit,
because
Janet won the 1500 U.S. Junior Nationals in 1984 when you were 13 years old, right? So I'm going to go down the list of everything that you won. You were 16 in 1988 in Seoul. You won the gold in the 400 freestyle, the 400 individual medley, and the 800 meter freestyle.
Yep.
So three golds in one Olympics. 1992, you won gold in the 800 meter freestyle, silver in the 400 meter freestyle. And then in 2000, you also went to the Olympics in 1996 in Atlanta. But then in 2012, you attempted that comeback at the Olympic trials when you were 40 years old, reminiscent of what we saw with Lindsey Vonn this year, and she made the Olympic team.
Yes.
What made you, you know, want to come back at 40?
I think it's always in you. I think as an elite athlete, it's always in you. And I, it was funny. The way it happened was my son was one and my daughter was like four. And my coach called me and he said, oh, the times they just swam at nationals weren't very fast. You should make a comeback. And so I was like, sure. And I think for me, I learned a lot through my career in my three Olympic games, you know, and in 88, I really kind of did what no one thought I could do, which made me believe that you can do hard things, right? Like, I wasn't supposed to beat these Germans, and I did. And in 92, I lost a really close race that I was supposed to win. So I had to wrestle with learning how to have perspective in my swimming career and in my life. And in 96, I was 24 years old. I needed to find the balance of what the rest of my life looked like. And so when I turned 38, I thought, I wonder if I could take all three of those things and kind of, with the maturity of a 38-year-old, and see how it all helps and see how it comes together. And so, and I did. And so the comeback for me wasn't necessarily to make the Olympic team or to win any more gold medals. And it was interesting because people said to me, you're tarnishing your legacy. And I said, well, no one's coming over to take away my medals, or, you know, right? But for me as a 38-year-old mom, to be able to put my head on the pillow every night and say, I kind of did something for myself today. You know, I swam 8 miles. I swam 10 miles. I made Olympic trials 2 years later at the age of 40. As a woman, it was very empowering. And I think it emotionally and mentally, it was something I needed. And I think also it was amazing what my body would do, right? My brain would be like, oh, I can do that. And my body would think, okay, I could do that too. And so I was really shocked at how quickly my body responded. Granted, I didn't swim as fast as I did when I was in my 20s, but I wasn't that far off. And I think I was surprised by that. Because let me tell you, as an athlete, you're like, I was a great athlete. And then now I'm like getting my kids on the school bus. I'm making dinner. I'm doing laundry, right? And so you forget that you were this elite athlete. You're just a normal person. And so when I made my comeback, I was like, oh, I did have talent. I could swim fast, right? And so I think it was really fun and really empowering and exhausting.
So but when you're cooking and doing laundry and all that stuff, your medals aren't nearby. They're not in a drawer.
No.
They're not hanging on a.
No, my medal. You don't know. If you walk into my house, you wouldn't know that an Olympian lives there. And that's the way I like it, because I had kids to raise, and you know, I had two older brothers, and everything when I grew up was equal, right? They went on to do great things, and there's nothing special in my house because I'm an Olympian. I get teased a little bit, but that's about it.
So you only bring out the medals then when you do public speaking? And
I do. I don't bring out my medals very often. In fact, my kids, I don't think they've seen them, obviously, but it's not like an annual occasion. My kids have probably seen my medals 4 or 5 times. That's about it.
Wow. Okay. Well, You've got 5 of them.
Yes.
So, you know, one for each finger if you wanted
something
to.
Like that. Earrings and a necklace.
Exactly. Is there a particular event that you're most proud of where you won a gold medal?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question and one I've been asked a lot. I think your first medal is always an incredible medal. I mean, the 88 games, I went in as a world record holder, but to be fair, no one expected me to win. I was about 5'2". I weighed about 99 pounds, and I was swimming against these Germans who were all about 6 feet tall and about nearly 200 pounds of muscles. So I wasn't expected to win. So my first, I knew I could win, but no one else thought I could. So my first medal was very special. But my favorite race from the gold, the one that used to make my dad cry, was my 400 freestyle, which I was swimming against a woman named Heike Friedrich, who is now a good friend. She was from East Germany. She had never lost the race in international competition, and I hadn't either, and it was our first time head-to-head. And she had a very strong back half of the last 200 meters of the 400, and we were even at the 200-meter mark. And all of the pundits and everyone said, oh, Janet's not going to win. Heike's going to do her thing and just demolish her in the last 200 meters. And I just started pulling away from her, and I beat her and broke the world record. And for me, it was a really special race because I swam the race to win, and that world record stood for quite some time, and it was one of those races that was really fun.
So I've read numerous times that you started swimming when you were 2 years old.
Yes.
I'm guessing when you were 2, the Olympics weren't on your mind.
No.
When did that thought cross your mind that you could be an elite level swimmer?
Yes, I started swimming at the age of 2 because my mom can't swim. I remember watching Nadia in 76, and I wanted to be a gymnast, and I had a little Nadia trading card that I would carry around in my pocket, and I'd tell everyone I was going to be like her. And now that she's a good friend, she's like, yeah, you wouldn't have been a gymnast. You're not very good. And then my mom took me in gymnastics, and I was terrible. And I was like, I just want to find a sport I love. And then, like we talked about, the 84 Olympics for me was really the moment where I realized what the Olympics meant. I realized what it meant to represent your country. I realized how special it was. And that's when I really put the commitment in to work hard enough to swim 4 years later at the 88 games.
So we mentioned, obviously, you medaled in 1988, 1992. You were there in 1996, but you didn't medal. But you had one of the coolest moments before the Olympics actually started. It's been well documented that you passed the torch over to Muhammad Ali. Do you still remember, like, everything about that right now?
I do. So the Muhammad Ali torch pass is my favorite Olympic moment. Without a doubt, I would give up every medal to do it again, which is surprising because before it, I thought, oh, man, I don't want to do this. I'm going to tire out my legs. I have to swim the next day. I'm going to light my hair on fire. But I think for me, it was my aha moment. I really believed that the Olympics was about winning. I believed that the Olympics, for me, my identity was wrapped around winning. And when I was running that torch on the track before I got up to Ali, I looked at all of the athletes from around the world, and 90% of them don't win medals, but they were there. They were representing their countries and their families and their dads that got them out of bed to go to practice. And I kind of had an aha moment that it just isn't about winning. It is, but it's not all about winning. And then I got up the ramp and I turned around and Ali was there. And you talk about someone who, he was a shadow of who he was in 1960 when he won his gold medal in the sport of boxing, but he was there and he was present and he was determined to light that cauldron. And I think that moment means different things to everyone who watched it and remembers it and those who were in the stadium. But for me, it cemented that you have to be present. You have to be a part of something. You have to do your best. And you might not always be in the perfect position to be at your absolute best, but you got to show up and you got to try. And that's what Ali reminded me of in that moment. And I think about it frequently. And I think half of what we do is just showing up and being present and doing your best. And that's what he did that evening. And when you talk to people about that torch pass, they all feel the same way. Just the idea that he was there and the Olympics meant enough for him to show himself to the world and do the torch, light the cauldron, was an incredible thing.
And again, that was in 1996 in Atlanta. We're fast forwarding back to the present because 2 years away is LA 28.
Yeah.
And I think people really understand from a worldwide perspective how big of a deal it is to have an event like this back in our country.
Yes.
Again, we just saw it with the World Cup, and what, 5 million people, I think, have 5 million, more than 5 million people have attended World Cup events.
Yeah.
For somebody, and you're so ingrained in all this, Janet, but how big of a deal is it? I know I kind of already asked you this, but just, you know, to not just have the planning and the preparation, but know that our country is going to be at the center of the world in 2 years.
Yeah. It's been fun watching the World Cup because it's exciting to see how excited people are getting about sports. Like, even my husband never watched soccer and he's always watching it now. I can't say he knows everything that's happening, but we watch it in my house. And so it's been wonderful to see that. And I think when you think about the Olympic Games coming to Los Angeles, think about that, but with so many more opportunities, so many different sports. We have new sports. We have flag football, right? We have lacrosse and cricket and squash. And so there's all of these opportunities for fans of different sports to watch what's happening, to cheer for their country, for the people of Los Angeles to welcome them. And when you talk about a new experience, we also have the Paralympics for the first time. And I think that's going to introduce a lot of people to what the Paralympic movement is as well. And how incredible those athletes are also. So it is a big deal. It is, the metric is that it's about 16 Super Bowls a day, 7 Super Bowls a day for 16 days in a row. So it's a lot of moving parts. It's a lot of stadiums that we're using in the best sports city in the world. And we can't wait to welcome the world.
But it's not just Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
Softball's taking place in Oklahoma City. There's soccer, I think, in Columbus, Nashville, New York.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
It is a very good thing. So we are having different events in different cities, and soccer is moving through the country before the final comes to Los Angeles at the end of the games. For us, Oklahoma City is an incredible opportunity. We have a 13,000 seat softball stadium, the best in the country for the softball players to play in, and also a whitewater canoe kayak course in Oklahoma City that is the best in the country as well. So we're excited to have those athletes in our country. We're spreading the love. You know, the middle of the country is going to get some Olympic love. The Oklahoma City is very excited, and the soccer cities are excited as well. And so, you know, while this is Los Angeles's games and California's games, it is a nationwide games. It's the U.S.'s games, and so we're happy to spread the love.
So in terms of tickets,
yes.
I know that it's both simple and a little complicated, so I'm hoping you can help ease people's tension right now. There's a key date coming up, right? July 22nd. That's registration for the pre-sale and drop two.
Yes.
Those selected can buy tickets in August. Any advice or suggestions for people wanting to attend who might not realize that they have to do it now?
Yeah. Well, it would be good to do it now. We still do have 2 years. But yes, LA28.org by July 22nd, register for tickets. You will be informed of a drop date that you get to come in and purchase your tickets if you are selected. If you registered for the first draw and you weren't selected, you're automatically into the second draw. So you don't need to re-register. So only for people that haven't registered, LA28.org by July 22nd, you'll be entered into the draw for the second draw.
Gotcha. You have a daughter,
I
Sydney
do.
Wilson, who is swimming at Princeton currently.
Yes.
Are the Olympics in her future?
No, my daughter is happily swimming D1.
Okay.
She says she's going to come to LA 28 as a spectator because people ask her all the time if she's going to be an Olympian like her mom. She said, I'm going to be an Olympian in the stands, but very happy with her choice of where swimming took her. And for me as a mom, it was an interesting journey, right? Like allowing her to find her own pace, allowing her to find what swimming meant to her and how swimming helped her life become the person that she is now. She swims the same same events as me. So that was also very hard. I was a very quiet swim fan with her, you know. But yeah, it was an interesting journey. But I'm very proud of her.
You could be mom but not coach.
Yes,
her?
Yes. I was very much mom but not coach. It was very important. Her coaches could tell her what to do, and I was just there to tell her it was okay if she swam slow and told her it was great if she swam well.
So since swimming has been such a big part of your life, yeah. What is your favorite Olympic sport that isn't swimming?
Oh, I really like them all. I like beach volleyball, not to lie. I guess it's because I'm a Southern California person and I live near the beach. And so I really do enjoy beach volleyball, but I like all of them. So you'll find me at all the events in LA 28.
Okay. Well, that's a great segue to end things. Janet
Thank
Evans,
you, Andrew.
Again,
I appreciate it.
And I'm going to list it off again just because it's so impressive. International Swimming Hall of Fame, U.S. Olympic Hall of Fame, three-time Olympic swimmer, 1988, 1992, 1996, 5 Olympic medals, 4 of them gold, 7 world records in her career, 45 national titles, and again, Chief Athlete Officer for LA 28. Thank you so much
Thank
for the time,
you,
Janet.
Appreciate
see
it.
See you in 2 years.
Okay, great. Sounds good.
We'll continue with updates over the next 2 years, and we'll eventually get to weekly Quest for Gold podcast starting in 2027. Listen, like, and subscribe at WGNRadio.com, Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get podcasts. I'm Ryan Burrow. Thanks for joining us, and stay tuned.